Yes, happy Friday to you. Wherever you are, our thanks again to Jamie Bradford for that killer open. Hopefully we can live up to that. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. Four Quarter Friday from the Chief Sports Network and fourquarterfriday.com. Good show planned for you. We will hit Greg Wright, Dutch Fork defensive coordinator, former coach at Timberland High School, right off the rip. We want to remind you, get over to fourquarterfriday.com. Message boards are up, fully operational. We are chopping it up with you there. We are sharing with you all the news that we gather from the state of South Carolina across all sports, not just football, but of course, football is first and foremost on our mind this morning. Rob, good morning. I know you're in the heat. I'm in the air conditioning. But hang in there, man. Hang in there. Keep the equipment cool.
I am drenched like I'm standing on the turf in July, Smitty, and I am on vacation here in the Grand Strand. And to let everybody behind the curtain just in on it, the Wi-Fi is out at the house, but thankful for great friends so I could walk a few streets over and connect to the Wi-Fi, but they're not home, so I'm on the deck. In the sun, we just hope the computer is going to make it. I'll make it. I can sweat it out.
Where would we be without friends? All right, let's bring Greg Wright in now. Coach Wright might know a little something about the Heat, having coached at Timberland. Now he's in Dutch Fork, the Midlands. It doesn't get hotter than those two places. Coach, congratulations on the new job with the Dutch Fork Silver Foxes, and welcome to Four Quarter Friday, where we celebrate high school football in South Carolina, and that's something you know a lot about.
Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on here. Hey, that intro with that music and everything, talking about all the high schools in the small towns, man. Hey, that's exciting, man. Definitely have you ready to run through a brick wall. Feel like I want to pad up right now.
Yes, and I know you're going to bring that. See, defensive coordinators are always that way, right? Offensive coordinators, they're kind of nerds, right, Coach? But then the defensive coordinators are the guys that are like, man, if these guys don't do it right, I'll just go out there and do it myself. Like, they're always – and, of course, you play, for those that don't know, this is the Greg Wright that played linebacker at South Carolina. So tell us about that. Tell us your story, if you would, you know, going from being a player, someone that was padded up all the time, and then when did you make that decision? I want to get into coaching. Now, you've been a head coach. Now you're with a program with all this championship tradition. So how did that journey happen, Coach?
Well, you know, growing up, always played football, growing up in Cross, South Carolina. But I always knew one day, you know, football was going to end. My coaches were like my father figures. So I always wanted to do the same thing for, you know, those guys coming behind me. So it's just my passion, and I feel like it's my calling. You know, I try to just be an extension of their parents and try to drive them to be great young men, because that's what my coaches did for me. But played at South Carolina, had a great experience, played for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier. Beamer was actually my position coach my last year, and just got into coaching right away. I got awarded a graduate assistant coaching job with Coach Spurrier and the staff there, and then got into high school ball at Fairfield and a lot of other places and had a lot of great success. And just where I am now, you know, over there with Coach Knotts, who's phenomenal, top, you know, first class in everything he does, and just, you know, just a privilege and honor to be with him.
Coach, I got a list of questions here. Obviously excited to have you on, but you sparked one in my head as we got going this morning. I know that you know how to defend a mobile quarterback, but how do we defend a mobile coach? I didn't know you were going to be on the move this morning. I'm trying to make sure that we defend everything well. You look like you're on the road somewhere, so we hope that you're being careful out there. But seriously, as we look at as we look at this year, I want to start really broad picture and then zoom in. You mentioned the intro and how it had you fired up. Can you just speak a little bit? You're from Cross. You have been at a lot of small schools as a coach. You're now at one of the biggest and most dominant schools in the history of South Carolina state football. But when you look across the entire state, what does it mean to the small town? What does high school football mean to these towns? I feel like you have a unique perspective to share for fans, for parents, for alums, for former players, for the coaches, everybody, the communities that surround it. That's what we're really about here. I just want to give you a chance to kind of speak about how important that is in this state.
You know, when football is winning, man, everybody is happy. You know, when football is not winning, you know, I always tell people that starts the year. You know, most schools, test scores, everything is up when the football programs are thriving. But when it's not, you know, it usually that starts the year, and that usually kind of drives throughout the year. So, you know, from my experience growing up in a small town like Cross, you know, where everything shuts down on Friday nights, you know, it ignites that community. You know, that's all they talk about. That's all they live for. Especially when I was at Timlin, it's the same thing. And now even being at Dutch Fork, you know, they love Dutch Fork football. And, you know, that's what keeps you motivated, keeps you excited. You know, who's much is given, much is expected and required. So, you know, we're ready to work and we're ready to hit the ground running, try to make sure we, you know, always have a good showing every Friday night.
Yeah, Greg Wright is joining us. He is now the defensive coordinator at Dutch Fork. And, Coach, I want to draw a little bit on your playing experience, because you're growing up playing, and I think you would have been playing right when the spread was hot, right? Like, it was something that at that point, defensive coordinators were scrambling a little bit. You were playing linebacker, so it was, okay, here's your gap, here's your assignment, here's what you have to do. And now it's been around so long that kids have grown up with it. And I'm just curious, Coach, what is your philosophy as a defensive coordinator? What do you make sure your guys are doing? What did you learn maybe from being a player trying to defend all that speed out there to what these kids are going through? How do you try to communicate that with them where they need to be? And we lost Coach Wright. Coach, you've hit a bad spot.
It could have been a phone call, Smitty. You know, he's a busy guy. When you get on that phone call,
okay,
pull him out. See what happens. If somebody called him, it'll cut off the stream. But while we're here talking about it, you know, we want to get into this with Coach Wright in terms of, you just mentioned kind of the scheme and what he sees. Mm-hmm. I want to hear that answer, because that's going to lead us to what we're talking about with personnel as well. As we know, Dutch Fork is a program that doesn't rebuild, that kind of reloads. And so they've got it in the pipeline over there. And they've gotten some transfer talent in for 2026 as well. And, you know, for Coach Wright, he's coming in learning personnel as well. So,
can you hear me?
We got you. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Either a bad spot or a phone call will get you every time.
Well, we were just talking about small towns in South Carolina. That's the other thing you've got. Right. When you're driving around our state, you hit a bunch of dead spots.
Right.
All right, you do. We're going to get a mobile company to sponsor this show, but we'll deal with that later. We'll get all the coaches set up. But Coach, what I was asking was what I guess football looks like right now to you, and what you think is so important. I remember once Ellis Johnson said, "I like to get the guys ready, their eyes in the right place, and lined up." And that seems so simple to those of us that aren't playing football, but If you've got your head turned or you don't know where the guys, you know, what your assignment is, that's when you get burned. So tell us what's important today in high school football in terms of how you play defense and how you kind of not coach these kids, teach them where to be.
Right. You know, I'm big on wherever your eyes are, that's what your body is going to follow. You know, so you always have to train their eyes. You know, what's my keys? What's my assignment? What's my alignment? And then we talk about being physical. So we tell them go annihilate. So we talk about AAA football, you know, and that's the basis of it, you know, because football is all about numbers and angles. So you always want to match numbers with numbers. So we always communicate. I tell them a silent defense is a dead defense. So we always want to match numbers with numbers. So if they got two on the perimeter, we want to get three over the two. Or if they got three, we want to get four over three. So we don't ever want to get outflanked, outnumbered. So we always communicating, hey, I got two over here. I got three. They have to be talking to each other, because the minute that you don't talk, that's how you get fooled, and that's how you get exposed on defense. So we always communicate, number one. And then, like I said, it's just alignment, assignment, and annihilate. You know, we want to be physical at the point of attack.
I love that. That's tweetable. Do we still call it Twitter? Is anybody still in that boat? Okay. So you talk about that. One of the things that I think is interesting with y'all's setup this year is that with you coming in for this season and some notable names coming in, like on that defense, obviously Dutch Fork already had plenty of talent, but you add some talent as well in terms of transfers. What's been the process, first of all, for you kind of getting in through the spring and summer and learning everybody? And then secondly, who's kind of standing out to you? We know about Jaden Worth. We've covered that here. We've talked Peyton Bishop. We know about Tad. I was out there during spring practice with you guys. I saw Tadrick Gibson. I've seen what some of these guys can do. We also want to highlight some guys that maybe the rest of the state doesn't know about. So what's the process been like for you learning them? And then who are your guys that we need to know?
You know, learning them, you know, just, you know, we spend so much time together. So I'm very familiar with the guys now, but I'm very demanding on how we coach and all my guys that's on staff with me. And it starts with Coach Nasi. Everything trickles down from the top. His intensity, the way we do things in the weight room, on the field, you know, it's very intense, you know, because we feel like that'll carry over to the season. But the guys that kind of stand out, you know, like you said, obviously Jaden Werb. I mean, he is, I tell people he's the next Aaron Donald. You know, all my guys that coach college, I'm like, hey, man, we can't miss on this guy. You know, I would have loved for him to, you know, he's going upstate, but I would have loved for him to be in the Garden. But, you know, that's neither here or there. But, you know, some other guys that's doing some great jobs and doing some great things are, you know, it's B.J. Platt. He plays outside backer for us. James, he plays safety for us. He does a great job. Very smart kid. He's committed to Liberty right now. We have Josiah Robinson, plays linebacker. He is very, very athletic. He's always finds a way to get to the ball. But we got a lot of good guys doing great things. But the biggest thing is getting everybody on the same page, holding their feet to the fire and doing the little things right, because the little things will come back to bite us. So just trying to get everybody to, you know, focus on all the little details.
Coach Greg Wright joining us here. He is now the defensive coordinator at Dutch Fork. And, Coach, one of the differences I would suspect between moving from Timberland to Dutch Fork are the sheer number of players. So tell me about the depth now that you're in a position. Maybe you do things a little differently now, knowing that you've got just more bodies to work with, where at Timberland – I don't know exactly what happened. Some guys, you know, usually at that level have to play both ways, or you have to watch their snap count. Maybe you don't have to worry as much now at Dutch Fork. How has that changed what you're going to do this season?
It's definitely strength in numbers. You know, what we can afford to do now is shuffle guys around just so we don't ever get caught, you know, if a guy, you know, because everybody's always a play away. So I want to move guys around in different positions so, you know, want them to learn different things and know different things. That makes us better as a defense. But honestly, that's the same thing. I always had the same mindset even when I was at smaller schools, you know, just kind of cross training guys to play multiple positions, because you just never know when a guy's going to go down. So we always want to make sure, you know, my inside back is going to know the outside position. My corners, you know, we got a drill right now. We just worked yesterday and day before, you know, where you go from corner to strong safety to free safety. And we rotate them like that just to make sure everybody knows what's going on and understanding. And that makes us better as a defense, in my opinion.
Coach, you mentioned your experience there as a head coach and some smaller schools that you were at cross-training. Can you talk a little bit about how everything in your career to this point has prepared you for the job that you're in now? And also, what's the transition been like moving from being the head coach to now being what I would say is probably the head coach of the defense under Tom Knotts? What's that transition been like for you?
It's been good. You know, coach is, he's right there in it. He's very involved, you know, but, you know, I'm very demanding on everything I do. I'm very anal about the details. So, you know, and it helps when you have a group of guys. You know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Those guys have been winning for a long time. I'm not trying to come like, you know, like I'm taking over and trying to reinvent something. You know, they have a great staff that they are very detailed about what they do. They're passionate about the kids. They're passionate about, you know, doing all the little things right. So it's been a weight off my back, because, you know, being at a smaller school, you have to do so much. You have to have your hands in pretty much everything. You might have to coach multiple positions because you just don't have the coaches. But so it's been good having those guys that are very, very very detailed, very good coaches, great men, period, you know, to help me lead the defense. So it's been good for me.
Coach, you mentioned kind of these coaches that are on the staff with you. Here's Malik Sumter in the chat this morning. He says, G Wright with the flex emoji. That's on the other side of the ball, Coach. What's it been like going up against some of those offensive coaches as well? I know that I know Coach Sumter is an elite coach, and he's probably scheming it up against you. with Brody and the crew over there against your defensive front. But you talk about the kind of what that side of the ball has looked like for you too.
We compete every day. You know, something we got to slow them guys down. Hey, every day we're game planning or scheming against each other. You know, you know, if they get the best of us, hey, I'm going home wrecking my brain. You know, it's I'll tell you a funny story. We had got the best of them maybe one day, and then they came back and hit the next day and got the best of us in there. So all the defense coaches, we were walking in the weight room, balling mad, and Coach Dixon's like, "Hey, man, it's just spring ball." He said, "It's a beauty to see how intense y'all are because y'all don't feel like y'all played to y'all A game right now." So he can only imagine when the season comes. But that's, you know, iron sharpens iron. Coach Sumpter is a great, phenomenal coach. I mean, he goes above and beyond. He's going to be one of the great ones. I love working with him, love competing with him every day. He's very intense. He's holding guys accountable. He did the blood, sweat, and tears there. He was one of the guys that started the winning there. So it's just phenomenal to watch him, you know, pour into those guys and hold them to the standard that Dutch Fork should be held to. And I'm just, you know, glad to be, you know, alongside great, great men like him and great coaches like him. But like I said, it's competitive. It's intense every day. It's intense every day. And like I said, that's going to just drive us and carry us forward throughout the season, I hope. You know, sometimes we got to slow guys down because it is so competitive. Feel like we already played a season, you know, right now. You know, so, but it's a good thing. It's a gift and a curse, but I'm happy and excited about it.
Well, you hear that about all the great programs through the years, you know, the U and Florida State and Alabama and Georgia and all these stories. Somebody leaves practice mad every day. Nobody, sir. It's just the way it is because of the level of competition. Greg Wright joining us on the Leading Edge guest line. Hey, chat it up. We got things going at fourquarterfriday.com. We're certainly going to be writing about Dutch Fork this season. Coach, I'd like to hear the story about how you ended up with this particular job. You know, I just wonder, when Tom Knotts started speaking with you, were those football conversations? Were those, you know, I want to make sure your personality fits with Coach Sumpter and others on the staff? What was it like when you were actually going through the process of getting this job? Because I know football is a large part of it, but I just wonder, in this case, was it also about, hey, we, like you said, we have a winning tradition. How are you going to fit into that? And obviously you guys got together. So tell that story.
Well, you know, it started a long time ago when I was at Fairfield, probably back in 2011, 2012, you know, when he was over there at Dutch Fork. You know, when you see somebody doing great things, you know, I'm the type to always, I'm going to be a sponge. So I would go over, meet with Coach Knotts and Coach Dixon and watch how they did things. And then when I became a head coach myself, I always took my teams over there in the summer to work against them, do a little 11-on-11. So, you know, that's where the relationship was built because I was always around. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, sometimes people are afraid to go, you know, because they might not talk to them, but I've never been that guy. I'm going to go over there and try to soak up, try to find a way to get better. So that relationship was built a long time ago, and we just carried that over the years. And like I said, I brought my team at the end of the year, even while I was at Timberland, at Swansea, wherever I've been. I've always brought my guys over in the summer and competed against them. So he got firsthand look of how I ran my program and how I held my guys accountable and how much they communicated on defense. So I think that's where the relationship was really built from. And then when I left Swansea in 18, I actually went over there to help him out in 18, where we won the state championship that year. So, you know, I'm very familiar with the program and being around there. You know, every chance I get, I'm always over there soaking it up. So just a privilege and honor to be over there with him now and to be, you know, heading the defense. You know, it's an honor for him to trust in me, somebody of his caliber, you know, so I'm just honored. And I'm just, you know, trying to make sure I hold our guys foot to the fire and make sure we hold it to the standard that it's always been.
I'm always fascinated by the networking of coaches. You guys are almost more closely knit than any other profession, I think. You know, the way that you cross over and work with each other throughout the year in camps and everything else. Greg Wright, new defensive coordinator at Dutch Fork. Coach, you also played at South Carolina. And the fact that you played under Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier, that's a select group. That's a small group. So I thought you might have a story from that era, maybe even the transition. I don't know if you do a Lou Holtz impression or a Steve Spurrier impression, but What was that era like? Tell us what you can about maybe, I guess, being recruited from the fact that you were recruited by Lou Holtz all the way through finishing your career under Steve Spurrier.
Well, Lou Holtz, I mean, I always tell people he's the ultimate motivator. He, you know, I remember him getting in front, you know, getting in front of big linemen, you know, big Jabari Levy, you know, they're 6'8" or whatever. And he said, "I'll fight you guys. I'll fight you guys." Small as he was getting their chest, and he didn't care. So, you know, just to see him, how motivating he was. And then I tell people I have the best of both worlds. So it's, you know, and then I had Coach Spurrier, he is brutally honest about everything he does, super smart. He holds no punches. You know where you stand with him. You know, I remember him in team meeting rooms, and he will call you out. You know, he'd be like, hey, is it too hard for you? Hey, if it's too hard for you, we'll get somebody else in there. You know, he's straightforward like that. So, it's different, but, you know, they both were very, very successful, and you see why. You know, Lou Holtz, very motivating. Coach Spurrier, you know, straightforward. You know where you stand. Super, super smart. And like Chris Hampton, who's my roommate from college, he missed a fumble at Tennessee, and we would have won the game. And he saw us. I forgot where we were, maybe at a coach's clinic. This is years later, and he still brought it up. Like, you know, if you made that fumble, if you got that fumble, we would have won that game. Like, he's like an elephant. He forgets anything. So, you know, like I said, I had the best of both worlds with both of them. And then, coach, like I said, I also played for Beamer. You know, my last year, he was my position coach, special team coach. So, you know, I've been around some great ones.
You've been around some great ones, and your career has been impressive as well. So we know that you are prepared, but when you look at getting your guys prepared, and we'll get you out of here on this one, I'm looking at the schedule. I wrote up a little preview on Dutch Fork that's on our site, fourquarterfriday.com. Everybody can go on there and check that out now. I'm looking at the schedule, and I think that you got to make a trip up to Spartanburg early in the season and then head down to Lucy Beckham. But when it comes to some of the hard hitters, especially when you get into region play, you got a lot of home games here, Coach. You got River Bluff at home, White Knoll at home, Gray's at home, Sumter's at home. What do you do when you're looking at this schedule to kind of prepare guys for the run week in and week out that it is in 5A football in South Carolina?
The biggest thing, you know, we don't look ahead at all. You know, Coach Knott is very, very strategic about holding guys accountable and taking it one day at a time. You know, if you start looking down the road, you know, that's when you get clipped. And Coach Dixon just talked about it. I told him I couldn't have said it better. You know, if you don't strain every rep and every practice and every game, that's how you get clipped. So we are very, very anal about, you know, one day at a time, being where our feet is and win the day. You know, that's our process right now. And, you know, that's going to be it. Here on out, you know, we don't look down the road. We're just trying to be the best team we can be next Monday. You know, that's what we're focused on right now. I'm watching the film, practice on Thursday, and grading it and trying to be the best Dutch foot we can be on Monday. That's our focus right now. So, you know, we'll cross those bridges when it comes, but right now we got to focus on us.
All right, Coach, we'll let you focus on your drive. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you spending time with us. Obviously, we're going to see you this season. Dutch Fork is always top of mind, always a championship contender. They've won the last five, and we're going to see your defense play in person this season. We'll be covering you at fourquarterfriday.com.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me on and looking forward to seeing you guys. Thank you for what you do, too.
Thank you, Coach. That is Greg Wright, now defensive coordinator at Dutch Fork. Formerly head coach at Timberland. Rob, we'll get to a break. We'll react to that. We want you to react to it in the chat as well. We appreciate Coach Wright joining us on the Leading Edge guest line. We still have Carlisle Cup standings. If you don't know about that, Rob has got some great graphics for you. We can explain what the Carlisle Cup is and why we should be paying attention. We've also got some news from American Legion and some more high school football players that have committed to play college football next season. We've got all that for you coming up next on Four Quarter Friday. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. We're with you all the time at fourquarterfriday.com. com. We want you on that message board. Go join now. There is a special happening. Get right over there. You can join for just a dollar. You get everything that Rivals has to offer, everything On3 and Rivals have to offer as a network, including fourquarterfriday.com, access to the Varsity Club message board. I made mention last week on the show that the Varsity Club was also a 1980s wrestling faction featuring Mike Rotundo, Rick Steiner, Kevin Sullivan. Nobody has commented on that at fourquarterfriday.com. So you're calling me old. So you're telling me I'm old. You're telling me I'm out of it. I don't think that's true. Now, we've got American Legion baseball news happening around the state. So what's happening now in American Legion? A lot of these players starred during the high school baseball season. They all did. Because American Legion is essentially a collection of all-stars. And we've got great news out of Sumter Post 15. Justin Pendergrass took the mound for the first time for Sumter last night. And look at that line. Five innings, gave up one run, scattered three hits there. And, of course, Justin Pendergrass, for those that are in the Sumter area, you just know his name. He has starred first at Sumter High School, now for Sumter American Legion, and he plays for Claflin. And I love this on his X profile. If you click on Justin Pendergrass's X profile, it reads, "A kid who loves baseball, !!! Third base, shortstop, right-handed pitcher, outfielder."
Yeah, that'll
do
it.
I love that.
That'll do it. If we
had that'll do it. Yeah.
If we had that type of passion from every player, Smitty, you know, at the next level especially, I think in high school ball, whether we're talking baseball, football, whatever, you see a lot of that type of passion, because these young men and young women that are in high school athletics want to be a part of the game. Looking back, I'll tell a quick story here on myself that – To get us off the rails as much as I can. You know, I try to keep every other show on the rails. Maybe I can get this one off the rails. When I was playing high school basketball, I quit for a brief period of time in the middle of my junior season. And I sat at home for about a day and a half. And I went, man, I miss practice.
Yeah. You want to play ball.
And if anybody's ever seen Coach Carter, I went through that running gamut to get back onto the team. But it just goes to show, I still talk to guys that I played with in high school who, well, one of the first things they say is, man, I just miss practice. I just miss us playing against each other.
Yes.
And I think you see that with a kid like Justin Pendergrass, who just says, you know, put me on the field. It doesn't matter. I just want to play the game. And that is what's beautiful about high school athletics in this state. And we see that extending into American Legion as well.
Well, what's great is if you have the awareness as to how much you're going to miss it while you're playing, but you can never do it. There's no way you can properly express to someone that's going through the grind of a season, hey, you're going to miss this. I'm going to miss what? I'm going to miss going to the weight room at 5 a.m.? Yeah, you're going to miss it. I'm telling you, you're going to miss seeing all your buddies, all your friends, all the off-season stuff. You're going to miss it. It's great. I just loved seeing that on Justin Pendergrass's first – congratulations with what he accomplished last night, but then also the career he's having at Claflin. And I love to see that. I wanted to point that out. Elsewhere in American Legion, let's go right to the top.
Camden's and shout out too to our friend Taylor Novinger. Yes. I don't know if you said this, but phenomenal graphic. Broadcaster for the P15s and got this done for us. So we appreciate it. We grabbed it from him today.
That's right. That is Taylor Novinger's graphic. And so he was right there on it, and he wanted to highlight Justin Pendergrass, and I'm glad that he did. And our thanks to Taylor, who helps us, who contributes to what we do at fourquarterfriday.com. We're going to stay on you, Taylor. We're going to keep picking information.
Great friend of the show, as many of you are out there who give us the updates, and some of you on the Varsity Club who have let us know players we should check out. So continue to jump in there and do that.
Yeah, so elsewhere in American Legion, go right to the top. Camden's ranked number one in the state in American Legion, Post 17. They won their series against Spartanburg Post 28 last night. 5-1 victory. Camden now is in the final eight of the South Carolina American Legion Baseball State Tournament. Game one for Camden will now be on Monday, and their opponent is yet to be determined. But last night, Johnny Collins, a right-hander, threw 5 2/3 scoreless innings. He fanned 7 along the way. Amari Counts, 2 for 4, pair of RBIs and a stolen base. Collins played at Blythewood. So did Amari Counts. They played together for the Bengals. Collins has now committed to play for Chad Holbrook in the College of Charleston next season. Amari Counts, 6'3", 250-pound first baseman. So he's got the frame. And Counts, again, they played together at Blythewood. Now they're getting it done at Camden. Counts was All-State this past season, and he is committed to play at Florence Darlington Tech, and their American Legion season is not over. Meanwhile, we know we've got a couple of game threes. These are best of three series in American Legion right now. And Rock Hill won last night over, yes, they won last night 7-1 after Richland Post 215 had won game one 15-5. Now Rock Hill gets them back. Game three is at AC Flora's home field tonight. Meanwhile, West Columbia defeated Somerville 7-5. So game three of that series will be tonight in Somerville. So that's a little trip for West Columbia all the way to Somerville. You know a little something about that trip.
I know a little something about a few of those trips. You mentioned the Rock Hill and Richland Post 215 playing at AC Flora. My only question, Smitty, and we need to put a call in, is will the good people of Forest Acres open the concession stand? Will the finest hot dog in Forest Acres be available? And let me just tell you, if you have not been, I say this all the time, an AC Flora baseball game, the hot dog is on another level than other baseball games. I'm not showing favoritism. I'm just telling you that it's bigger, you're going to get more bang for your buck, and the chili is homemade. So just, if it happens to be open, I'm not sure that it will be, though, because I don't know if those fine people are opening that that vault outside of Falcon Baseball.
Well, I always try to give some recruiting news, and Rob, you always, not only do you beat me to all the recruiting news, but you always have more, and I don't know all about it. So I like to just give what I've got, and I do know that South Florence center Luke Thayer has committed to play at Davidson next year. I know that was on our Four Quarter Friday Morning Minute, but there you go. Congratulations to Luke, who is he's got another season to play here at South Florence, but then he'll be on his way to Davidson to play for the Wildcats. Now, Rob, just embarrass me with all the news you've collected in recruiting.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tease it a little bit, Smitty, because what we need to know, I'll even talk some offers as Wando linebacker Ben Eikenberry gets an offer from North Greenville earlier this week. DeMarcus Vinson from First Baptist committed to the Citadel. He's going to stay home. Here's one that I think is important. Northwestern safety / linebacker. He plays a little bit of both. KJ Berg. This is a guy, if you have not read the Northwestern piece, if you've not been on the Varsity Club, I won't give it all away, but Paige Wofford had great things to say about KJ Berg. Committed to Wofford earlier this week. And the Terriers are also interested in Ridgeview wide receiver Kanye Reed as they offered him earlier in the week, too. Reed kind of stands out. I was there at Ridgeview practice. Obviously, they have Christian Jackson, who is the speedster track star, but they added some transfer talent, Kanye Reed being one of those guys, the 6'2 receiver on the outside that can really make things happen for them. So we'll continue to watch all that. But, Smitty, I didn't have to work hard for that because it's all on our live news blog that is running every day on fourquarterfriday.com. This is South Carolina High School Sports News Today, July 16th, 2026. I just went down the list, and I just gave you everything that was there in the news from yesterday. We want you to continue to stay tuned in with that. That live blog is there for you every single day so that you can see what's happening in the news. Excited about that.
So, KJ Berg, I want to go back to something.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a player. I mean, I can't wait to see him play. Northwestern, obviously.
It's a steal for Wofford, I think.
Defending state champions under Paige Wofford. And he's got a machine up there, but he's also got a tough region right now. So And that's going to be a lot of fun. He's now in Region 2-5A this season. But I want to go back to what you said, KJ Berg, because this is a discussion. I'm actually at ACC Media Days this week, and so many of the representatives are tight ends. And now James Franklin has gotten back into the conference. James Franklin, of course, at Virginia Tech, and he's recruiting our state, the state of South Carolina. He's coming down here making offers to our high school football players and trying to get them to go play football for him at Blacksburg. And he loves the tight end. He had Tyler Warren at Penn State. And the reason I bring this up is you see these things trickle down. I've been having discussions at ACC Media Days about the prevalence of tight ends and their usage and how often clubs are playing two tight ends and how often they're kind of H-back. And what you said, KJ Berg, that's why he's going to be so sought after at the college level and why Wofford has got a good one, you know, as long as that commitment sticks, because he's the type of player, you said, hybrid safety linebacker. So he's the antidote to that, right? So everybody is saying, well, we're gonna try to get mismatches with our tight ends. Well, the hybrid safety linebacker players like KJ Berg are the types of athletes that are going to be utilized by defensive coordinators to get over the top of those tight ends and are able to take on those blocks in the run game and then also are athletic enough to cover those athletic tight ends that might be hybrid wide receivers. And KJ Berg is kind of that kind of player, and that's why it's so fascinating. I think that's trickled down now because we're hearing that more often, like hybrid players. And it used to be, it was always, you know, almost like hybrid corner safety because everybody was playing so much nickel with the spread. But now we're hearing more hybrid safety linebackers because you've got to be able to take on tight ends and that block in the run game.
And that really started all the way at the top, right? It starts at the NFL and it works its way down as you have the most superior athletes in the world playing in the NFL. And those tight ends are Wes Mitchell at Gamecock Central, I think, maybe he coined this term, maybe not, I don't know. But he said dual threat tight ends, which is a new way of saying they can block and they can catch. You know, you mean
like the old tight ends.
Exactly.
The old tight ends. And then they became receivers like Shannon Sharp.
Right. Or they became inline blockers.
Inline blockers, and guys you never heard their name called, but they were like an extra tackle. Yeah,
exactly. And now you're looking for the quote-unquote dual threat guy that can do a little bit of both. And you're right, you do that starts at the NFL, and those guys are maybe the most athletic guys on the field. And it does trickle all the way down. The other thing that trickles down, Smitty, you mentioned ACC Media Days, a talent like KJ Berg going somewhere like Wofford. We can see this kind of recruiting tree. We've mentioned this before. But we're watching so many high school players out of the state of South Carolina go to schools like Wofford or South Carolina State or North Carolina Central or East Carolina or wherever the case may be. And with the transfer portal in college, Smitty, we'll continue to follow these high school South Carolina natives as they make their way through college, because the odds of any player, not just these that we've mentioned, but the odds of any player going to that FCS level, and in a lot of cases, even the Group of Five level, and sticking at one school and not, if they're successful and not trying to move and climb a ladder, those odds aren't great. We're seeing a lot of movement. We're seeing a lot of movement. So we'll continue to follow these guys. And you mentioned James Franklin, as schools like Virginia Tech are picking off FCS schools, and then FCS schools are recruiting a different caliber of athlete from high school. So I know you've been all over that. I don't know if you have anything you want to add there as we follow this recruiting.
Yeah, I keep driving that point home, and I know I sound a little bit like a broken record, but I think it's a good discussion for us to have consistently. So everybody, it's something that those inside the game already know, but you just said that KJ Berg committing to Wofford, and I think in years past, and this is no slight to Wofford, a team that I covered for many years, he would have not been an FCS player years ago. He would have been recruited to a different level. But what is happening, and I'm going to illustrate this with something that Brad Crawford from CBS Sports recently tweeted out, and it's about East Carolina, another team that is coming in and recruiting a lot of our high school football players. East Carolina lost so many key players. Just get this list. They lost their quarterback to Illinois, running back to Florida this past offseason, starting tackle to NC State, another starting tackle to South Carolina, two tight ends, one to Vanderbilt, one to Florida State, wide receiver to SMU, defensive lineman to Virginia, and defensive backs to Florida and Georgia. Okay, so now with that understanding, now you've heard that list from East Carolina, a successful group of five team. So what has happened is those teams went and got proven commodities that had played, you know, FBS football. So now ECU is going to do, is going to have scholarships opening up, and they are either going to try to raid Division II, JUCO, et cetera, FCS, or they're going to recruit the high school level. And that is why so much more often you're hearing our players from inside our state, the talent level is not down. It is the fact that the scholarships are opening up at Group of Five schools, Division II, and FCS, because so many of the big-time Power Four programs, Florida needed a running back. They got one from ECU. South Carolina needed a tackle. They got it from ECU. Florida State needed a tight end. They got it from ECU. That's happening more and more often, and that's just one example. But I thought the fact that Brad Crawford from CBS laid it out so well, that is why we, when we are talking about recruiting so often, we're mentioning Davidson, Gardner, Webb, Wofford, and you might think, boy, I used to hear more Kentucky and Vanderbilt and NC State, but those players are not less talented, the players that we have in this state. It is simply that that's where the scholarships are available in this era.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Smitty. You know, we talk about kind of recruiting and high level and movement. I want to shift the conversation here briefly, as I know we're kind of up against another break. We want to get to Carlisle Cup here in just a minute, but I did want to mention a couple of top basketball prospects in the class of 2028 transferring out of South Carolina. They announced this week as Bryce Wiersman will go from T.L. Hanna to Christ School in Asheville, and then Antoine Kaufman Jr., the number one player in the state who played at Keenan, is headed to Oak Hill in Virginia. And we obviously know the pedigree of Oak Hill with guys like Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant, and the list goes on and on and on with the alums that have come out of there. And I just want to throw out to people, and I wrote about this on fourquarterfriday.com. You can go check it out. I think that transfers at this high school level, specifically in basketball, a sport that has been so transition heavy, no, maybe pun intended there, over the years, we kind of see that culture bleeding into now with the high school transfer. You're seeing them in state and you're seeing some out of state. I think that it's a tip of the cap to South Carolina for producing top level basketball talent, as schools like IMG, who just got Josh Leonard out of the 2027 class, to move from Wilson down to Florida. And now Kaufman moves from Keenan up to Oak Hill, moving some of those guys out. But you're also seeing the rise of some of the programs in the state of South Carolina as players. We've seen guys move over to Ridgeview. We know what they've done, 7 out of 9 state championships. Jayshon Sanders goes from a state championship game run with High Point over to Burns to give them a big, big presence. Caleb Allen goes from T.L. Hanna to Christ Church. Christ Church was won the state championship last year. So you see some of these power players in terms of programs in the state are also adding talent. And it's just like the college discussion that you just had, Smitty, where the landscape has shifted such that Power Fours are recruiting the FCS level, the G5 level, and that causes those schools to recruit a different level at high school. The same thing is kind of happening in the high school transfer portal, is that the top level players may be going to elite national programs, and then that next tier of players, which are still top 150 players nationally, are moving to the power players within the state. And I would expect more and more of that to happen as we move forward.
That is something we're absolutely going to be tracking. I hate to lose them to out-of-state academies, but you're right. They were developed here in the state of South Carolina by our great coaches. We'll wrap things up on the other side with the Carlisle Cup. If you don't know what the Carlisle Cup is, we will share it with you. We'll share the winners from this past academic year and why it's important and why we're going to always keep it at your fingertips at fourquarterfriday.com. We'll go over the Carlisle Cup when we return. This is Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association on the Chief Sports Network. We're wrapping things up here on Four Quarter Friday, but we don't want to leave this on the cutting room floor. The Carlisle Cup. the winners have been announced, and we have got the winners from each classification. And what the Carlisle Cup is there to do, you may have known it as the Governor's Cup at one point, but the Carlisle Cup is awarded by the South Carolina Athletic Administrators Association. It is, and I've got the definition in front of me, to recognize the athletic department in each classification or division which has excelled and shown superior performance. Kind of think of it as the Commissioner's Cup from the college level, if you know anything about that, but it's calculated based on state championships and where you finish in terms of advancing in the playoffs each year, and it's across all sports. So it's not weighted. It's not as if, you know, we all know that, hey, you know, we know Dutch Fork has a killer football program, five straight state championships at their level. But in this, you know, it can be track. It can be cross country. It can be hoops. It can be all the different sports counting here. And Rob's did a fantastic job of tracking this down and posting it for you with an explanation at fourquarterfriday.com. And why we want to track it is it's a conversation we often have on this show, which is, you know, look at where the population is growing, look where they're going. And also it gives us an opportunity to highlight coaches, players, and programs that may be doing things that aren't baseball, basketball, football, but getting it done in wrestling. And they get points for that. So Rob, I'll let you take it away. You put this together and did an absolutely fantastic job of putting the Carlisle Cup standings together. And we want to make sure we recognize these programs.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Smitty. And it is on fourquarterfriday.com. If you go, you can get on there for just $1 and then half off your year. Half off your year. Just go ahead and do the year. Just get it half off. Get it half off. I want to give a shout out as well. A couple of questions over here. As Bruin is in the chat talking about Luke Thayer, he missed that discussion earlier, but he says he knows Luke personally, grew up with his mom and friends, both of his parents being undervalued by some. Kid is a dude, starter for 3 years, backbone of the offensive line. And then also, I had a question down here from Cocky Drew who says, when does ITG start? Monday, the 20th, Monday. They will, JB and the boys will be back. JC and Phil will be back. Morning show. The show, all that, here on the Chief Sports Network. Okay, yeah. So the Carlisle Cup is there, available on the site. I want to click through. Shout out also to the South Carolina Athletic Administrators Association putting this together. These are their graphics. These are not our graphics. I want to make sure I give them credit there. But you can see teams listed. I have a scoring breakdown there in the piece on the website. So go in and check that out as well. Dixie here in Class A. I'll just kind of make my way through here, Smitty, as we can look at a few of these and then go back and talk about it. Phillip Simmons wins in 2A. Academic Magnet, who we talked about a ton, Smitty, is there. We've talked about Chesney, and you can look through some of these.
Clinton with
top five or six, yeah.
Landrum baseball girls, state championship.
Landrum girls basketball wins their first one and puts them up there. Atlantic Collegiate, we've talked about their baseball program. Yeah. So right there, no surprise here in 3A as Oceanside wins it. We kind of covered Oceanside. I'll give this one from the article. Oceanside was 7 state championships this year. That was the top of any of these programs. And it just continues to roll for the Land Sharks. Christchurch, we mentioned winning the boys basketball championship. We have been all over Southside Christian as Carson Bowman was just drafted in the first round and their run to a state championship again this year. So you can kind of see on down the list the mix of schools as we get into it. I'll shout out our chat box again. Let's go back over here to Class A as our friend Lance, who had a birthday earlier this week, is in the chat, sees those flashes. There they are. All right. That is, yeah, 9th in Class A. Shout out to Johnsonville.
And they get a shout-out in our opener, too.
They do. A big one. 4A. We talked about AC Flora. We knew that this was going to be the one on top there as we kind of covered a lot of their stuff here in the spring with baseball with softball. Here's the one. Here's one I put in the article, and I want to say this on the air as well. Amy Martin is the tennis coach at AC Flora. She has been for quite some time. She coaches both boys and girls tennis. And in 2025, late in the year, she eclipsed 500 career wins as a tennis coach. She has won, I will admit, I don't know how many state championships because she continues to stack them up. It's a dominant run for the Falcons on the tennis court, and that's a big part of why they are the 4A Carlisle Cup winners. You can kind of see other notable programs here that we have discussed. Bishop England second. We've talked, obviously, about Gray. We had head coach Chris Stone from Daniel on earlier in the year, and then we've talked about South Point and some others. North Augusta coming in 10th here in 4A as we continue to see our North Augusta contingent growing at fourquarterfriday.com, Smitty.
Yeah, you called – you knew AC Flora was going to happen because you called – you just kept saying, man – just look at the success they're having across all sports. It seemed like when we started doing this show, they just kept coming up every week across all sports, well, whether it was news. It was just always news, newsworthy.
The day I stood on campus, and I was actually there for spring football practice to do a check-in on them, but there was a baseball playoff game. Girls soccer was practicing for their playoff run and an eventual state championship. Softball was playing a playoff game, and they ended up as the runner-up in the state championship game to Gray Collegiate. I knew right then. I was like, there's too much happening. It's too late in the year.
Yeah.
Football can't even get onto the practice field because there's too much happening out here. So
there's nowhere to park.
No, definitely not. You're up and down Falcon Drive all on the side of the street, but it's worth it for the hot dog. Okay. 5A Division I, Wando brings it home over Dorman, Lexington, River Bluff, Clover, in the top five there, Smitty. A lot of familiar programs as you work your way down this list, yeah, that we've covered here in spring sports with schools like James Island and Spartanburg showing up there too.
Absolutely. Matt Spivey wins another title at James Island in baseball this year. Dorman has been fantastic across all sports. We've been celebrating their coaches. You can find their football preview with Jake Morris, what he had to say at fourquarterfriday.com. And there's obviously 5A Division II. Chapin is another one. Congratulations, obviously, to Fort Mill for claiming the top spot. But the reason I say Chapin is because they're another one that's just newsworthy. I keep hearing things about Chapin and that program. Lucy Beckham, boy, have they grown! Not only have they grown as a school and a community, and now look what they're doing athletically right there. Greenville, no surprise. I mean, frankly, just
yep.
The Red Raiders are just continue to be a monster, and on down. But I wanted to mention that Chapin is just one of those schools that I just continue to hear news about.
And I think that's too, because you and I have been doing this show here in the spring, and I think Fort Mill had a balanced year and got it done on both sides of the calendar. Chapin, I think, closes gap a lot because they are. They're really talented in the spring sports, which is where they made up some ground and moved their way into second place here in 5A Division II for the Carlisle Cup. So, this is a fun award to look over, Smitty, as we cover every single sport here on Four Quarter Friday. That is the award of the year for us. You know, there's lots of state championships, and I can go pull up our state championship spreadsheet and make our way through and see this program here and that program there. But when you look at it all culminating together, and you can kind of see it coming when we put that spreadsheet together, the teams that show up several times, you're like, well, I think they're going to be in the running here, but it's definitely something for us as we zoom out and look at the full scope of athletics that I think is, really, really noteworthy. And shout out to all of those winners. Make sure that you guys go and check that out on fourquarterfriday.com.
Yep. And we've got a lot of work to do. And Rob is supposed to be on vacation. This was your vacation. Hope you had a great time.
Fantastic.
I know you're drenched in sweat right now.
I'm sending you a picture of my shirt when we get off the air.
All right. We've got we'll roll to a close here. And as you said, that was a good note that everything else on the Chief Sports Network is returning Monday. Be back on the air on Monday. So full schedule of the Chief Sports Network, fourquarterfriday.com, 7 days a week. 24 hours a day, it is fully operational. The Death Star, that is fourquarterfriday.com, is fully operational. We've got news on there for you. We've got previews. We have a message board. That's the fastest way to get in touch with me and Rob, the best way. You've got questions, and we don't always have the answer, but I know on a couple of occasions already, Rob, we've been able to reach out to coaches and get some answers back to questions from the message board. So that is what that is for. That is, we are your conduit. If you have questions and you'd like to know something, we will do our best. I've got 1,000 phone numbers, and Rob has 3,000 in our phones connected to all of these contacts and inside the high school world here in the Palmetto State. And we're going to get you answers there as best we can at fourquarterfriday.com. And then you can just chop it up with us. Then you can tell us what we missed, because we just went over. We just did an hour going over what we think are the biggest stories in high school sports right now, what we're looking forward to this football season. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we missed something. There's a lot of great teams and a lot of great players across the state. All right, final thought from you, Rob.
Stay cool out there today, everybody. Heat advisory here in the Grand Strand. So we're gonna drink up on the cold water and put on a little bit of sunscreen. Last day of vacation. I'm headed back to the upstate tomorrow, Smitty. So I'll high five you on the interstate.
Yes, and football season is here. I hope everybody is enjoying their summer. But for those that are involved in the world of football, it has begun. Even though the games have not kicked off, it is starting in earnest, and we're going to cover it all at fourquarterfriday.com. We're back on the air next Friday, 9 a.m. You can always catch us on YouTube, and absolutely, positively, don't miss your chance to take advantage of the pricing special right now from On3 and Rivals at fourquarterfriday.com.